At this point in our service, I'm going to ask Stephen, the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, Charlotte's son, to bring a family tribute.
Well, public speaking is not something to which I'm a stranger, but today takes public speaking for me to a whole new level. My mother told me in her time of sickness, when all of these things would be taking place, funeral service, etc., that the Lord will give you grace. And I know many are praying for us, and we feel the Lord's help already. I want to add my thanks to those of David, to thank all for coming today. The presence of so many friends is a testimony to how well loved our mother was. On behalf of the family, I want to begin by thanking certain people for their kindness to my mum and their special care of her. Her minister, Reverend David Priestley, my brother-in-law. My mother had that privilege of calling him David. I want to thank you, David, for your faithfulness and your diligence in visiting mum at the hospice every day and ministering to her spiritual needs through his word and prayer. Susan Gray, her favourite nurse and fellow worshipper in Bangor. Thank you, Susan, for all of your help and encouragement to mum and our family. We could never pay you back. We are forever indebted to you for your kindness. And to my cousin Beth, we offer our sincere gratitude for the very practical ways in which you helped us all, providing food, etc., on a regular basis while we all visited mum at the hospice over 8 weeks. And I finally want to personally thank my sisters, Olive, Yvonne and Deborah, for the way that they cared for mummy and daddy so tirelessly in her sickness. I know it was a labour of love, but I know that she appreciated it more than words could ever say. Now, my task today is obviously a difficult, if not impossible one, humanly speaking, as mummy's favourite son, the only son, I can say that it falls to me to pay tribute to her on behalf of our entire family. But I genuinely feel that anything I say about her today will be inadequate. There are not enough superlatives in the English language to describe Charlotte Hamilton, my dear mother. One thing I do know, she would not want me to eulogize her or to exalt her in any way, but to magnify the grace of God in her. She knew I was going to give this tribute at her funeral. I didn't ask her what to say. I didn't tell her what I was going to say, but I did promise her this. I will give credit where credit is due, and you're due a lot of credit. But I will seek only to exalt the Saviour who made you the person that you are. And Mummy would have said with Paul, as David already quoted, by the grace of God I am what I am. Charlotte Wilson Mills Grant was born at the Offaly near Sinfield, County Down, on December the 28th, 1932. She was born again of the Spirit of God on the 20th of April, 1956, near Carriduff. She had been a religious person by her own admission, but that day, through the sovereign grace of God, she became a genuine Christian. At the time of her conversion, she wrote her name and the date in a little decision card, which was the wont of the preacher who was there. But more importantly to me, her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Mother wrote on a piece of paper which accompanied that little decision card, which we still have, the words, "Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? When thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come, 'twas the same grace that spread the feast that sweetly forced me in. Else I had still refused to taste and perished in my sin." And I asked Mum, why did you write that? because she was not converted under what we would call a sovereign grace preacher. And she said, I don't know. I just really liked that, and it was my experience. Well, that day, she was saved, and she started out on a journey to heaven, which culminated in her arrival there at 5 minutes to midnight on Monday, the 15th of October, 2012, little Toby's birthday. Mummy was, I believe, a choice saint of God. She was the best example of the Proverbs 31 woman I have ever known in my life. And today, we as a family, collectively, rise and call her blessed. In paying tribute to my mother, I would mention several things. First of all, her selflessness. It's already been noted. Mommy could never be charged with selfishness. She was a giving and caring person to a fault. As the saying goes, she would give you the bite going down her throat and the shirt off her back. Mum was utterly selfless. She was always thinking of others before herself, even toward the end. But less than 24 hours, probably before she passed, she talked about people who are worse off than myself. It is more blessed to give than to receive was something my mother really believed, and she lived accordingly. There used to be an old television advert in this country that used to ask, do you love someone enough to give them your last Rolo? The fact is, my mother not only would, but often did, even to me, that very thing. She would do without so that others might have. Mummy lived to make other people happy. Selflessness. I would have to mention her sweetness. Toby, my little nephew, her grandson, made a special card for Granny when she entered the hospice, which contained a Bible verse underneath of the everlasting arms and the words, Granny, you are as sweet as honey. And he was right. She was a lovely wee woman, is something I've heard numerous times recently. Mum had a natural beauty, and my dad discovered that when he first met her. But it was enhanced by her inner beauty. She radiated loveliness to all she met, even in her pain and sickness. Mum never lost her sweet Christian spirit, always thankful to all who did the least thing for her. And at times recently, when she may not have felt like it at all, she sought to greet everyone with a smile. Mention has been made of her prayer life. I would talk about her supplications. Mummy was, of all things, a woman of prayer. Her prayer life is a constant rebuke to me. She prayed at home and was always and ever present in the place of public prayer. One of my earliest memories in Arnie Close and Craigie is of her kneeling by the sofa when I was about 3 years of age, climbing on her back and pretending that she was a horse, and her praying to the Lord in that kind of a voice. She prayed for her family and her loved ones right up to the end of her life. She prayed for the work of God, for the Lord's servants everywhere, for ministers, for missionaries. She prayed for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. She prayed for me. And I am a gospel minister today as a direct result of her prayers. She prayed for all of us as a family, and her prayers received answers. As children in the Craigie, before we went to school, Mummy would bring our wee friends into the house, and if she had time, she would read the word, but she would always pray, and she would pray for their salvation. My best friend and Arnie Close met me one day when I was the minister in Mount Merion, years and years after we lived in the Craigie, and he crossed the road and he said, Stephen, and I didn't know who he was, he introduced himself, he said, it's Mark, and he said, I'm saved. He told me how he was converted. He said, my wife here just a few weeks ago was round at the martyrs, and when the big man was preaching, she was saved. And I thought immediately of my mother praying in our home, Lord, save we Mark, his mum and daddy, his brothers and sisters. Mark was able to tell me that his sister and his brother, who live abroad, are also now Christians. God answers prayer, and my mother believed that. When
Toby was in the valley as a tiny baby. She prayed for him. God answered prayer. When Daddy was face to face with death on two separate occasions, she prayed for him. God answered prayer. When I was feeling discouraged, Mommy would often say to me, "Keep looking to the Lord, son, and pray on." And in recent days of sickness and pain, she prayed with us at nights in the hospice, and those prayers I will never forget as long as I live. There are folks here today who are not yet saved. But I want you to know Mommy was praying for you that you might come to heaven also. She was a prayer warrior. I will miss her prayers. And yet many of those, I do believe, are stored up in God's vials for a coming day in which they will receive an abundant answer. I could speak then of Mum's service. David has referenced it. What could I say about that? She taught Sunday school. She stood at open air meetings. She gave out tracts. She supported Christian missions, including Christian schools. Mummy was a servant of God. And she was a soul winner. Often when folks were needed for counseling and gospel meetings, one of the first names I would hear mentioned to come out to the front to counsel people was Charlotte Hamilton. And many a soul she led to the Savior. And in her final days, it was her great desire to bring others to Christ. There in her wee drawer, she had her store of tracts and gospel booklets. She spoke a word of witness to many, including nurses and doctors and others who came in. When Mommy knew the seriousness of her condition, she said to me, "If some would come to know Christ through my sickness, it will have been worth it." And it's my firm belief that Mommy is one of those who will hear those words from the Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I could speak then of her steadfastness. Down through many years, Mommy was unwavering in her stand for truth and righteousness. She was always bold and fearless in her stand, even if she was debating with the bread server in our street finer points of theology. She was always gentle and gracious, however, firm and unbending in her biblical convictions, but she would always disagree without being disagreeable, and you always knew where she stood, and she never changed. Always humble, self-effacing, never brash or offensive, she nevertheless had a zero-tolerance attitude toward compromise, error, and false doctrine. And yet she never allowed her differences with others to become personal. Mum, I can say, never had a bitter bone in her body. Unlike many, she could differ strongly with you, but always still speak kindly to you. And she was steadfast in her Christian faith, in spite of much sadness and sorrow in her life. I'll not go into all of the things that she experienced, lest I not be able to finish this. But Mummy was often tried and tested, and yet she stood firm on the rock. In her last great battle, in the midst of great sickness and suffering, as her body endured the ravages of bowel cancer, she never complained, nor did she ever speak against the Lord. She fought a good fight, she finished her course, and she kept the faith. My mother was and is an inspiration to her family, and I believe also to the wider family of God. May we seek by God's grace to take up and carry that torch that she laid down on Monday night. We shall miss her. As a family, we've felt in these days as though we were all gathered on a platform in a railway station. The train was stopped there and the guard was calling, as the wee children's chorus says, "All for heaven." And we knew that Mommy was getting on that train. And we were all standing there, not wanting to let her go, and maybe even wanting to get on the train with her. But she had to board that train to glory with her Lord, leaving us behind. But as I said to a colleague of mine recently, the great thought is there's another train coming. And it's got the same destination. And we, as God's people, will be getting on and we'll be going to join her in the mansions of the blessed. Someone sent me an encouraging devotional recently, and I must just finish with this. It is a word from C.H. Spurgeon, whose morning and evening readings my mother often enjoyed. It's on the words of John 17:24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." Spurgeon said, "O death, why dost thou touch the tree beneath whose spreading branches weariness hath rest? Why dost thou snatch away the excellent of the earth in whom is all our delight? If thou must use thine axe, use it upon the trees which yield no fruit. Thou mightest be thanked then. But why wilt thou fell the goodly cedars of Lebanon? O stay thine axe and spare the righteous. But no, it must not be. Death smites the goodliest of our friends, the most generous, the most prayerful, the most holy, the most devoted, must die. And why? It is through Jesus' prevailing prayer, 'Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am.' It is that which bears them on eagle's wings to heaven. Every time a believer mounts from this earth to paradise, it is an answer to Christ's prayer. A good old divine remarks, many times Jesus and his people pull against one another in prayer. You bend your knee in prayer and say, 'Father, I will that thy saints be with me where I am.' Christ says, 'Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am.' Thus, the disciple is at cross purposes with his Lord. The soul cannot be in both places. The beloved one cannot be with Christ and with you too. Now, which pleader shall win the day? If you have your choice, if the king should step from his throne and say, 'Here are two supplicants praying in opposition to one another,' which shall be answered? Oh, I am sure, though it were agony, you would start from your feet and say, 'Jesus, not my will, but thine be done.' You would give up your prayer for your loved one's life. If you could realize the thought that Christ is praying in the opposite direction, 'Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Lord, thou shalt have them. By faith, we let them go.'" And as Olive said the other night in the hospice when Mum was breathing her last, "Good night, Mummy. We'll see you in the morning.